God. If you brought a copy of the Word of God, will you hold it up? I want to do what we did in our lower school this week. Hold it up high where I can see it. This is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-trusting church. Amen? And all God's people said, amen. Take your copy of the Word of God and go with me to the book of Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 22. And one of the great biblical interpretation features, when we learn how to study the Bible inductively and exegetically, we know that the Word of God contains the promises of God. We're going to see how many in a moment. We also know it can answer today's questions. It's a living book. But make no mistake, I want to teach you this morning how we need to, when we open the Scriptures, are you ready for this? Read the Bible with first century eyes. We want to understand what was going on in the culture and in the heart and life of the authors who were led by the Spirit of the living God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 is a heavyweight passage, and I'm going to reintroduce it to you today. And I already know one thing. I'm not going to finish my message. Maybe Pastor Connor will have me back next weekend. In fact, I thought I was only going to get through half of it. I think I'm only going to get through one-third of my sermon. This is like a fire drill up here at the North Campus. I love it, but we will stay on time. Go ahead and connect with me on social media, and I will post the rest of my slides up there from this message. So have your Bible open to Galatians 3:28, and then have a phone ready. I had so many people I met after the first service. They were thankful to see some of the slides. It's so great to come to a church where we don't have to check our brain at the door to be a Christian. We can love God with our heart and our mind, as Jesus said, which is the great commandment. My message this morning is the Jesus factor in the world and in our lives. All of us have probably faced unimaginable situations. Situations where without the Jesus factor, there was absolutely no hope. And so many of us also need to be reminded that Jesus specializes in entering your unimaginable circumstances and changing all of those circumstances. That's the Jesus factor in your life, and that's the Jesus factor in our world. Since this is my first time at the North Campus, I do want to introduce you to my family. They're worshiping in this service. My wife, Audrey, Lily is in Justin. They go to PCA. Lily's on the volleyball team. All the boys are in PSO flag football. In fact, you see we have triplets. We make up half the football team because it's 6-on-6 in football. Did you all know my name is gold-plated at Costco in Katy, Texas from buying so many diapers for those three young boys? I didn't know they would honor you that way. I am joking. People are walking up to my wife saying, is his name really gold-plated at Costco? I'm just joking. But I was on a first-name basis with the diaper aisle. I love this. These are our minions. Would you just take a minute and pray a silent prayer for the children's ministry here at the North Campus this morning? Because they have six-year-old triplets. I haven't slept in 6 years, ladies and gentlemen, since they were born. I share this. Oh, and by the way, do you know what it was like for dads? My heart goes out to all the dads before the 1950s, because the 1950s in Philadelphia is where the ultrasound was invented. This is what happened when dads found out they were having triplets in 1946. I mentioned we have minions. Two of the three are identical. Audrey and I were so excited when we found out we were having triplets. Actually, she was horrified. I just started laughing because there were two options, laugh or cry. The sonogram tech said that morning, ABC 123, and I literally wondered, is he singing a Michael Jackson song right now in the ultrasound appointment? ABC 123, not a good thing to hear at your first ultrasound if you ever hear that. He said, baby A, baby B, baby C, you have three heartbeats. And Audrey just started shaking on the table. And they've really trained y'all in the medical community how not to answer a question. Let me just talk for a minute right now. Because, we immediately became a high-risk pregnancy, and they would not answer a... You could have asked, is the sky blue? I don't know. I'll take it under advisement. So we waited for our maternal fetal medicine appointment, finally got in. Some of you have heard of MD Anderson. Right next to MD Anderson is the Women's Pavilion, Texas Children's Hospital. We waited for that appointment for weeks in prayer. Finally got there, so excited. And do you want to hear what happened in our unimaginable circumstance? We go to the appointment. The doctor, maternal fetal medicine specialist, meets with us. In the first 8 minutes, she points out that Abel and Ryder is on the far right, Abel in the middle, they're identical and they're sharing everything, a placenta, everything. And she said they'll probably develop TTTS, twin-to-twin transfer syndrome. And then she asked this worldview question. She's looking at Audrey, her patient, and she says, have you considered a fetal reduction? I have to be honest with you, I had never heard that euphemism before this appointment, and she's talking about my children. This is what's amazing when you decide to lock into a biblical worldview. You don't wait until the stress point, the appointment with the doctor, to decide how you're going to answer. When you have a Christian world and life view, the decision has already been made, amen? How do you think Audrey responded? A spirit-filled wife, she looked right at the doctor. And by the way, the doctor went on, but she said, because you know, Houston's a diverse community. Now we can take two, we can take one. What were you thinking? Audrey said, I don't need to hear anything else. We will trust the Lord. And you know what? We didn't have any explanation other than the TTTS at the time. That's why in my book, Unleashing Peace, I write how we have to learn to faith God's promises. We don't faith explanations. We faith God's promises. We walked out of there with an explanation that hurt, but our biblical world and life view transcended that explanation, because how many of you know God is in control of every detail of our life? And friends, as Mike Buster can attest, who's on the front row, not only were these boys born at 33 weeks, they are as ornery as ever. They go over and just mess up his whole yard over there and prosper. So I do need your prayers now. Some of you have prayed, if all the multiples families out there, God bless you. I asked Jackson the other day, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm not a Christian, I'm a lion. So we're still working on him because he goes to PCA. That's my unimaginable situation. And I want you to understand why we have launched a ministry here at the church led by a pastor, myself, to help you have a thinking faith. I want every one of you, not just the Delta Force leaders in this church like Pastor Connor and Pastor Lance and Pastor Mike and Dr. Graham. We need every one of you to say, I am going to be a Christian thinker. And that means I'm going to love God with my heart, soul, and my mind. I'm going to take my deepest, darkest questions to the Bible, knowing that there are 3,200 questions in the Bible, and God is a big boy. He can take your most difficult question. Did you know that? It is not a sin to question your faith. If everything we say is true about the Bible, God can take your most difficult question. Let's read the Bible, Galatians 3:28, with first century eyes. And before I do that, let's read a love letter from 50 BC. About 46 years before the birth of Christ, Hilarion writes a love letter to his wife Alice. This is papyrus Oxyrhynchus. That just means it's a piece of paper discovered in the city of Oxyrhynchus, Egypt. When I say number 744, that just is the catalog number. They had 745 right after it. And right here at line 5 is what I want you to pay attention to, where this tear out is. And I'm so thankful for our media ministry providing this Promethean board. Right here in Greek, this beautiful love letter, he writes home to his wife and says, you will have a child before I return home from working in Alexandria. Eon ein telea ekbale. If it's a boy, keep it. If it's a girl, throw it away. And in the first century world, the world when Galatians 3:28 is written, the world when Matthew 19, let the children come to me, is written, no one in the Roman Empire would have batted an eye. Because why? To be born a female, you were at a great disadvantage. And isn't it interesting, in a few verses after Galatians 3:28, Paul writes in 4:4, in the fullness of time, right in the nick of time, Christ came, born of a woman, born under law. Let's talk about these times. Why we're starting a worldview task force, and I want to encourage you to join our ministry here at the church, the task force. You can go to this website. I need you to be a member of the church. I need you to be committed to being a Christian thinker. And then we are creating a matrix of content for our church family, because the sophistication of the skepticism is growing to such an extent that I know the greatest asset of this church is not the ground, the facilities, it's you all. You are the greatest asset of this church. And God has blessed so many of you. I was at the men's Bible study Friday morning. Man came up, he said, I don't have long to live. But every day, I want to help you create content so people can have a thinking faith. I want that to be my legacy here at Prestonwood. Join our Worldview Task Force. Why? Not only is the skepticism growing to be more sophisticated, questions are changing. We have different challenges today than you might have had when you were a kid. Well, there are harder questions, but guess what? The truth never changes. But we have done a terrible job passing on a legacy of faith. And so today I'm going to equip you how to answer a very specific question, but I want to encourage you to answer it in the way Blaise Pascal. This quote helps me set the guardrails. I speak across the country at apologetics conferences. It doesn't mean I apologize for anything. It just means I help people think through their faith, have reasons to believe. And I have to be honest with you, because you are my church family. This is family talk. I've been embarrassed at how some defenders of the faith have tried to humiliate atheists, mock agnostics. This is not what we see in the spirit of Jesus. And I always remember what Pascal said. A great Christian thinker died tragically at the age of 39. Let me summarize this quote. Make sure you get a picture of it with your phone. He said, when we present the gospel, we need to present it so effectively that our friends, our family, our neighbors want it to be true, and then we show them that it is true. Are you that effective in sharing your faith where when you're at lunch with your business partners or you're at coffee with your friends, you can present the truth of your faith to where a skeptic, a seeker, or agnostic says, man, I don't know if that's true, but I really want it to be. That's how I want to share my faith. How about you? That's the job that we have. Please join the task force. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, it says in Galatians 3:28. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male or female. Are you ready for this? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If we're not careful, if we're not reading the Bible with first century eyes, we skip right past that passage and we have no idea the power of Galatians 3:28 in the Roman world. Do you know that you might think the world's, you know, hopeless today? I'm an optimist. I think Jesus and his church is going to be greater in the days ahead than at any other time in the history of Christendom. 70,000 people a day right now are coming to faith in Christ. Our evidence is getting better and better for the faith. So many great evidences that buttress what we believe. But we have a body of Christ right now that wants to go to Google instead of God's word. We live in a time when skeptics have taken the microphone. And I say this in Christian love. We need to take the microphone back, church family. We need to stand for Jesus Christ. And we need to stop giving up ground to the enemy. What do I mean when I say the enemy? Am I speaking metaphorically? I'm reminded of what Winston Churchill said in his wartime speech in 1943 in Harvard. He said, the empires of the future will be empires of the mind. Where these great ideologies are going to be combating and at war with one another. And so when we think about a Christian world and life view, it causes us to bring the love of the gospel into the most evil places around. Galatians 3:28, you're not Jew or Gentile. Do you know in the first century world, Jews were chauvinists. They were taught the prayer of Rabbi Judah. Bless the Lord, he didn't make me a Gentile. Bless the Lord, he didn't make me an ignoramus. Bless the Lord, he didn't make me a woman. Better to burn the Torah, that's the first five books of your Old Testament, than teach it to a woman. This is what Paul would have been taught. And so for him to say there's no difference between Jew or Gentile, this is sedition. It would have been laughable. There's no longer slave or free. Do you know what percentage of the empire, the Roman Empire, were slaves when Paul writes Galatians 3:28? 40%. Life expectancy was 20 to 35 years of age. On any given Sunday or any given day of the week, 25% of the Roman Empire were sick, dying, and in need of medical attention. This is the world that Paul is writing Galatians 3:28 in. The gender gap was huge. Women couldn't be educated. Why do you think the scripture so practically says, hey, let me show you what true religion is? It's not being the smartest guy in the room. It's taking care of widows and orphans. Why? Because they were at such a disadvantage in the Roman world. Do you see how pungent, how poignant, how practical our faith is? We're not part of some Gnostic sect where we're using esoteric language. We have a faith that's so simple, a child understands it. And it's a faith that James 1:5 says, we shine the light of Christ, the darkness cannot overcome it or take it down, as long as we let our light shine. And some of you, we need to turn up the lumens. 63% of atheists and agnostics in our country claim that the church contributes nothing or not much at all. In fact, the church is irrelevant to helping us solve important social problems. Pivoting off of Galatians 3:28, I want to equip you as a Christian thinker how to answer this question today. And not only how to answer it, I'm praying that the Spirit of God is working even while I'm teaching from the Word this morning about what unimaginable circumstances God calling you to face. These are my 2 points. Make sure you get these down if you're taking notes. What does the evidence tell us? The church, unified and mobilized, is the greatest force for good on planet Earth. If you name the name of Jesus, if you follow Jesus Christ, there isn't a close second. You are part of the greatest syndicate, the greatest organization on earth. It's the greatest force for good. Number 2, this is where I might need to come back. The gospel of Jesus Christ, when I follow it, I need to be a resilient Christian because it's always going to be in conflict with society, culture, and contemporary. So guess what? We need to teach our kids that you might have to stand for your faith, and you might have to stand alone. That's okay. You're not alone. Jesus is there with you. We need to stand for Christ with a resilience. That's why God did not give us any armor in Ephesians 6 for the backside. And yet so many of us were in retreat mode, and God wants us to say, give me that hill for you, Lord. We don't do it alone. When we shine the light on these areas, and we're going to talk about that. Are you ready for this? You ought to write this down. Do you know how many ministries emanate from Prestonwood Baptist Church? 150 ministries. And we want you to get involved with as many of them as you feel called to. You're not called to sit on the bench here on Sunday morning twice a month. You're called to get involved. And we're going to see here the collective impact that we can make through the name and the gospel of Jesus. We do so with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we do so standing on 7,487 promises in the scripture from God to us. Let's talk about the Jesus factor for those skeptics, those seekers, the atheists and agnostics who claim, you know, the church is irrelevant. If we could just get rid of the church, the world would be a much better place. By the way, I was speaking in Ohio last weekend and a pastor and I were discussing it. Let me ask you a question. Did the world get better when all the churches closed down? Were people mentally healthier? Did you approach life in a better way when the churches closed? No, we're still seeing the effects, aren't we? So there's a great analogy for you. Let's talk about the Jesus factor in serving people. Because of your historical distance, we think that certain amenities that we enjoy in society have just always existed. There's always been hospitals. There's always been nurses and universities. There's always been service for those in need. I mean, you've always been able to call 911, right? We need to teach our kids that so many of the amenities that we enjoy in our society come out of the cut and thrust of the Word of God. 70 million Americans are served every year through members of local churches just like yourself, powered by a staggering $20 billion in donations every single year. There is not a close second, not the United Way, not any of these other secular organizations, not even the Red Cross. The church serves 1 in 3 Americans. What about food banks? If we just all vanished, and I give 12 ways in my book, Unimaginable, the world would be unimaginable tomorrow if the church vanished. I'm just giving you, we're just scratching the surface. It's staggering to think that 46 million Americans are currently struggling with food insecurity. Did you know that? COVID highlighted this as well. 60% of our food banks, how many food banks are there? 46,000 hunger programs. Did you know 60% of those are Christian hunger food programs? America would starve tomorrow if Christians were not dispatched to those who are serving. Be bold about your faith. Be proud of those that serve. Why is it whenever there's a disaster, brothers and sisters in Christ and churches are the first people in? Have you ever asked yourself where the atheist tents are when there's a hurricane? Where the skeptic tents are when, and by the way, hear me, I'm not saying that atheists aren't kind people. I'm not saying that they're not charitable. I'm talking about the evidence that the church is the greatest force for good on planet Earth. And when you meet someone in a dark alley, it makes a big difference if they're coming from a Bible study or coming from a bar. Amen? America would starve without the church. Education. I thank God for our education programs at Prestonwood Baptist Church. It reflects what we're seeing across the country. Some of you, you used to be an addict, and God has made you clean in Jesus' name. Did you know churches participate and lead 130,000 programs a year for alcohol and drug abuse recovery? Think if the church didn't exist tomorrow. What about 94,000 programs to support our veterans? Why is that important? Did you see the headline 2 weeks ago? I used to live in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Canadians are just Americans with manners, ladies and gentlemen. I always tell people that, having lived there. Did you see when a soldier, a veteran, called in the Canadian suicide hotline, he was recommended to euthanize himself on the Canadian veteran suicide hotline? You don't think worldview matters? 121,000 programs to help you become gainfully employed. This week I'm going to be speaking at our businessmen and women's breakfast at Prestonwood, a great way to connect. The economic factor, I'm going to go quick here, and I'm going to talk about the social impact for a minute because I want to hasten to this. Our ministry, Prestonwood Baptist Church, has pregnancy centers. Here's pictures of them. We have two locations. And then we have, every time this truck drives by me, Lord bless it in Jesus' name. I just stop what I'm doing. I pray over our mobile units driving across all of North Dallas, ministering to women. Now, here's the statistics. Our church has served more than, and by the way, you're not going to read this in any secular media, so please pass this along to your friends. We've served 100,000 women since 1991 at Prestonwood Pregnancy Centers. 86%, so is that 86,000? At a minimum, if I'm doing the math correctly, 86,000 babies have been saved through Prestonwood Baptist Church and our pregnancy centers. Two locations, free services, ultrasound, pregnancy tests, classes on parenting, guidance for expectant mothers. I could go on and on. I'm wearing myself out up here telling you the impact our church is making in our culture and community. I think about internship, passing on a legacy of faith for tomorrow's leaders. Nearly 500 interns have gone through both campuses in the last 25 years. They're awesome mom and dads. They've become pastors, CEOs, college professors. I thank God for our network as well. We have a network of pastors. I want people to stand boldly for the faith like Dr. Graham and Pastor Connor. But did you know that's a dying breed? I'm so tired of the TED Talk sermons. I'm so tired of the humors and that where it has every recourse but recourse to the Word of God. Friends, the only thing that's going to help your marriage and help your parenting and help you get through today is the Word of God. Amen? That's all I want to hear about. Now, we can do it with class. I mean, think about our media ministry, how great they've been to work with this week to present the content in a way you can digest it. We can do it with great excellence, but I want to know what the Word of God has to say. So our Prestonwood Network is encouraging pastors, have confidence in the Word of God. And those of you watching online, you can tell in the first 5 minutes when you go to a church if that pastor has confidence in the Word of God or not. Friends, I know that my words can't change any heart, but I believe the Word of God will always do the work of God. Prestonwood Network, so powerful. What about the economic impact? $1.2 trillion impact of Christianity. It's more than the global earnings of Apple and Microsoft combined. And you're part of that. Every time you give, when you tithe, when you pass on a legacy of giving to your family, we see this as an overwhelming in the economic sphere. I went down to Baylor ISR, and I met with Rodney Stark as I was working on this book, Unimaginable. I want to encourage you to get a copy today. I really think it should be required reading for every Christian that know how to answer. Atheists may get what they want when Christianity vanishes, but they may not want what they get, if you know what I mean. 33 pages of single space notes, fonts in the back. These are not assertions. It's based in evidence. Met with Rodney Stark, presented at ISR, and we were able to sharpen iron with each other because look at this. 91% increase in crime if we all became secularists tomorrow. If you just guess what? Being a secularist causes more crime according to the statistics. We can study it. We don't have to imagine it. What about the health impact? Oh, this is so encouraging. How many nurses do we have in the room? Raise your hand if you're a nurse. Praise God. Would you give our nurses a round of applause? Do you know how nursing was invented? A 17-year-old by the name of Florence Nightingale felt called to help people who were suffering. She came from a wealthy family. She was disowned by her parents, and she invented what is the modern nursing movement. Every time a nurse is pinned, we should thank God for Florence Nightingale. In fact, they have a museum to her in South Bank in London. You can go see it today. It was her love of Jesus Christ that compelled her. Every pinning ceremony, never forget, it was a believer in Jesus Christ who wanted to love people and who risked her family disowning her in the calling that God had given her. You all know I'm so passionate about those that are struggling with anxiety right now. 25% of our pastors, 1 out of 4 of you in the room right now struggling with debilitating anxiety. Did you know 90 million Americans live in federally recognized shortage areas? It means they don't live anywhere near a mental health professional. So I want to ask you, Christian thinker, what fills the void? 353,000 pastors. Look at that, who donate 10 to 20% of their time annually, which equates to 138 million hours of mental health services per year, services provided at little to no cost for those that need urgent help. You know, I just returned from speaking in the People's, tell me if you've been there, the People's Republic of Oregon. I was out there ministering, and the church is alive and well. In Oregon, it is such a mess right now, you can get caught with drugs of any kind, as long as it's under a certain amount, and you call an 800 number, and you pay $100 or whatever the fee is, and the government promised they would build drug rehabilitation centers. Guess how many they've built in Oregon? Zero. Do you know what the wait is? Why am I saying this? Do you know what the wait is in Oregon right now to see a mental health professional? 8 months. The most courageous, and it's getting longer. And yet there are churches like Salem Heights Church where I ministered in the heart of Salem, ministering, filling the void. That's what you're part of when you say, I'm part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's clearly a society that lacks faith has no hope. The most dangerous place to be born right now in the world is India. We have so many families. I'm so thankful for all the children I see in worship. So I talk about this in my book. There are men and women, because of their love for Jesus, they go into the darkest corners of India and they rescue young ladies that are kept in these cages. I thank God for men and women here. The stories that I hear, even after the first service, of how God's used you to be tip of the spear Christians in the most evil environments. Because I know when the church is mobilized and unified, we're the greatest force for good, and we are going to come into conflict with Satan's kingdom. Do you remember what Jesus said in Greek to Satan? He said, your kingdom is telos eki, it is coming to an end. The strong man is bound, a stronger man is here now. That's Jesus. So what's God calling you to do? What's your unimaginable circumstance? Maybe you had an appointment this week like Audrey and I had. We need to leave here standing on the promises of God's word, not on explanations. Some of you, though, you're here and God's been calling you to a work, and you might have been resisting. You needed this message from Galatians 3:28 to push you over the edge, because God's calling you to get involved in our church and to be part of one of these 150 ministries. I think about Life Recovery here. Every Wednesday night, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in this church where men and women who've struggled with anxiety, substance abuse, depression, divorce, trauma. If you know anyone struggling with these, please. They don't need to go any further than the doors, the very building you're in, where we have 14 classes that are going to help you recover your life. The power of Jesus' name. Whew. Thank you, Lord. PowerPoint Ministries. So many places I go, they are familiar with Prestonwood because they've been touched and ministered to. Not every church preaches like Prestonwood, and that what fills the void is PowerPoint. Our pastor's teaching ministry. You can see thousands of articles, broadcasts. Be sure and avail yourself of this. Pray.com, other great opportunities to get the Bible out, the gospel out, by every means possible. I've gone fast. I want to close with this story. Dan and Lynn Wagner I met in Santa Cruz, California. This story is emblematic about what we've been discussing with the Jesus factor in our world. Dan and Lynn and their two daughters, Carrie and Mandy, I want you to see them right here in the picture. Carrie and Mandy, age 14 and 16, they were doing altar work at a Luis Palau Evangelistic Beach Fest. They got in their car. They put their seatbelts on. They never made it home. Their family minivan was struck by a woman named Lisa who was drunk and high on meth. She never put the brakes on. In a moment, in a blink of an eye, Mandy and Carrie were killed instantly. Little Lynn, who's about this tall, she broke her pelvis, she broke one of her legs, she had to attend the memorial service of her daughters in a walker. Cryptically, Dan was concussed, so much so that he suffered from short-term amnesia. Some of you have had that if you've been concussed. Cryptically in the story, someone had to keep telling him his two daughters had been killed because he kept forgetting. I want to just pause right now. Without the Jesus factor, when you lose all of your kids in a moment, how do you even survive? How do you put one foot in front of the other? Well, number one, you don't do it alone. You don't do it without Jesus. You can't make it without the church. I love this. Dan and Lynn, you know, I loved their realism. They said, we blew up Christmas that year. We didn't want anything to do with Christmas. Too hard. And thank God that we can process our pain together as a church. That's healthy. But she said it took time, slowly, over the course of 7 years. We wouldn't have made it without our local church, Twin Lakes Church in Santa Cruz. Some of you could say that today. I couldn't make it without Prestonwood Baptist Church and the impact this church has made in my life. They began to heal. They'll never be the same, but they began to heal. After about 7 years, God began to speak to Dan and Lynn that they needed to contact Lisa, the driver of the automobile, and they needed to forgive her. Of course, no one had ever made this request in the prison system, and as she was getting paroled, Lisa had become a Christian over that time period in prison. They petitioned the judge. The judge allowed an armed officer to be in the room. They didn't know if this was going to be an act of violence. Dan and Lynn walk in, and they say to Lisa, Lisa, first time they had been in the presence of the person that was driving the vehicle that killed their daughters. Lisa, through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, we love you. Lisa, through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, we forgive you. And Lisa, through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, we'd like to know, would you want to be our surrogate daughter? Lisa, Dan and Lynn Wagner, now go, and they go to libraries, schools, churches, talking about the power of forgiveness, the Jesus factor. Why are you trying to make it on your own? We need you in this church, and guess what? You need this church in your life. I love what Augustine said. God is our father, the church is our mother. I want to encourage you to join our church. But more than that, I want to encourage you to get involved in one of these 150 ministries that are changing the world. What else have we learned? Number three, the church is the greatest force for good on planet Earth. Now, how do you join the church? First and foremost, you accept Christ as your Savior. Some of you are here, you need to make that decision right now. Would you stand with me quietly? We're going to do an invitation now and give you an opportunity, standing wherever you're at. No one moving unnecessarily. We'll close in just a few minutes. Let's bow our heads in this time of decision. Father, we thank you for Galatians 3:28. We thank you for the power of the church on earth. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in this room right now. Spirit of God, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Friends, I cannot forgive you of your sins, but I can lead you to Jesus Christ. If you want to make for sure that you're a Christian, that you're part of the church, 200 times in the New Testament, it's conditioned on one thing and one thing alone, faith in Christ. You can accept Christ today by simply an act of faith to trust in Jesus for your forgiveness of sins. You can do that by praying this prayer, Lord Jesus. That's right, you can pray it in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Right now, by faith, I trust in you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of my sins. And peace with God.